Fifth case for this morning. Tachowski versus Town of Cicero. Mr. Hanrahan?
May it please the court. I'm Edward Hanrahan. I represent the appellant who seeks reversal of an extraordinary order dismissing in its entirety plaintiff's complaint for alleged constitutional violations of the due process and equal protection of the law. Our brief sets forth the details of our argument, the basis for this court's granting our request is the failure of the district court to apply Federal Rule 6 or Federal Rule 12b-6 in granting its dismissal, and its failure to follow state and federal law with reference to statutory interpretation and following the decisions of the Supreme Court of the state in which the matter is involved. So on that basis, especially since here the plaintiff, the appellant, was discriminated by the town in denying him his accumulated wages and benefits when he was like any other retiree who had no charges against him pending. And I say that because the order of the Board of Fire and Police Commissioners in this case was not final, and it was not final in accordance with Illinois law. Nevertheless, the district court substituting its judgment for the law and decided that it would read an intent instead of a final decision requiring affecting a party's legal rights and terminating procedure before the administrative agency. And for those reasons, for that failure of the federal court to for the district court to apply the law and to apply these basic rules which enable the filing of a complaint, all you need to do is state the grounds of your complaint, the jurisdiction, the grounds of your complaint, and that is sufficient under the Supreme Court's ruling, followed by this court and every other district. And on that basis, I'm asking this court to reverse the extraordinary order of the district court in dismissing the plaintiff's complaint in its entirety.
How should we deal, Mr. Hanrahan, with the sentence that followed the board's findings that the decision is subject to review under the Illinois Administrative Review Act?
That's a make-weight, Judge, which I've addressed in our brief. The substance of an order determines whether or not it's final, not the mere statement. I have state and federal cases cited in our brief to the effect that that mere statement doesn't change an inadequate order into a final decision. And
what I was wrestling with was how that sentence would have any meaning unless the board decision terminated him. In other words, what it would be a meaningless sentence But is that your argument?
It is a meaningless sentence. It's a make weight to cover up for their failure to make a decision under the standard of the state law. The mere addition that this is an appealable order is meaningless unless the substance of the order complies with the statutory requirement that the decision is final, it affects legal rights, and it terminates the procedure. And this order clearly did not. None of the orders in this case complied with the administrative law standard that a final decision must affect legal rights, and it didn't do that. And you can't say it. You cannot just say, "Well, this is an appealable order," and therefore change something into nothing. Change nothing into something. And that's what that sentence attempts to do here. And I expect that this court will not swallow that like the district court did.
Thank you, Mr. Hanrahan. Mr. Murphy.
May it please the court and counsel, good morning, Your Honors. John Murphy for the defendants. To follow up on Judge Rovner's point, in addition to the language that Your Honor cites where the Fire and Police Commission says, based on all of these findings, 19 pages worth, the board finds that Mr. Stokowski has committed these violations, and therefore it's appropriate to terminate him. And this decision is reviewable under the Administrative Review Act. We would submit, I guess, were this court sitting at the Daly Center, that was a final administrative decision. The heading on what we call the termination order says count 2-decision, count 1-decision. We would submit that there's no reasonable basis to conclude other than what the district court concluded, namely that when the Fire and Police Commission on March 16 of 03 said, "We find substantial shortcomings, it's appropriate to terminate him, and this decision is reviewable under the Administrative Review Act," that man was fired.
If, as Mr. Hanrahan suggests, the board decision was not a final decision terminating him, would it have been subject to review under the Illinois Administrative Review Act? Just by inclusion of this sentence?
Well, of course, that's a question of Illinois law, but we believe that it would be a final decision. Of course, that may order on what I'm going to call the motion to reconsider further indicated that we found that there was cause to terminate Mr. Stokowski, and that's what we did. But if there was an uncertainty, Illinois law provides due process. Now, you know, sometimes in this building we throw around these terms like due process like they're magic wands. The property interest was either the employment or the back pay portion of the employment. The government can, of course, deprive that person of property, but it has to be accomplished with due process. Illinois law specifically says that if an administrative body like a Fire and Police Commission issues an ambiguous order or an intentional order which puts the finality into the, what I called in the brief, the bureaucratic deep freeze, there's a remedy. You file a petition for writ of mandamus, and we cite 2 Illinois appellate court decisions which say that if that occurs, mandamus will lie where the Circuit Court of Cook County will say, "Mr. Fire and Police Commission, Mrs. Fire and Police Commission, issue that order," so the 35 days begins to run fresh and the person can file his administrative review action and get prompt judicial review of the decision. I think, Your Honors, in terms of the chronology, and let me just back up, all of what I just said are questions of Illinois law. If this court finds that Illinois law provides vehicles for review of decisions, which, of course, there are, statutory and by case law, we believe that for the due process prong, that that ends the ballgame. I think what we see here in the chronology makes it evident that the March 10 termination order was a termination order, at which point Mr. Stokowski runs to the pension board to try to get his a pension so he can say, well, I wasn't really fired yet, so I can get my pension and therefore have a claim to back pay.
Is it the act of the town's pension board that is being challenged here, or the act of the Fire and Police Commission that is being challenged here? I'm a little confused.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. There are multiple independent little governments within a municipality. The Fire and Police Commission, totally independent. Mm-hmm. They decide whether there's cause to fire a guy.
Right.
Pension board, not a party to this case, totally independent. They decide whether an individual who has resigned or is fired is entitled to get a pension based on his years of service.
Well, would we be here if the findings had, the 19 pages of findings had concluded with, this is a final decision by the board?
Well, of course it did. You mean it actually had those magic words?
Yeah.
Well, of course not.
Right.
Because that would have foreclosed any argument that under Illinois law that was not a final decision. We believe that this decision is pretty crystal clear, as Judge Holderman found, that it was a termination decision.
Now, it does say finds that it's appropriate to terminate, and it would have been better to just say we terminate.
True. But it would have been better. It may have been better, but then you look at the very next sentence.
As courts are familiar with how to word findings and then orders, this is not worded as a court would.
Of course, it's an administrative body, Your Honor. And inartfulness is not a due process violation. And, of course,
it's an expensive one, isn't it?
It is an expensive one for both sides. But if you take a look at that May order, if that clarified any misunderstanding, which made it clear that there was cause to terminate the man.
I'm still trying to get a handle on what was the act that constituted the deprivation of due process. It seems to me that what happened here is that this officer was terminated for cause because he defrauded the town by filing $52,000 worth of overtime expenses that he had not earned. And nevertheless, he was awarded a full pension.
The only proper...
So he's ahead of the game.
Yes. My client gave him his due process. We gave him a full hearing, cross-examination, a full Baird versus Board of Education hearing, if I might allude to my other recent case. And therefore, there's been no... We didn't deprive him of anything.
Right. And what he's fighting about is the back pay for the period of time of unpaid suspension while the termination was being litigated.
That is correct. The pay from the time he was initially suspended until the date, what the complaint claims, until the date that he got his pension.
Right. And if he had a challenge to the suspension without pay, that was properly litigated before the Fire and Police Commission and then through judicial review and that route,
and
not before the pension board?
That is correct, Your Honor. And it was litigated through, and the Fire and Police Commission said, we think there's reason to suspend this man pending hearing. Under Illinois law, that gets subsumed into the cause for termination question, because it's not right if a guy steals $50,000 to let him receive back pay for 3 years while he's under suspension pending the misconduct.
So
and that's what happened in this case.
Why isn't this entire lawsuit frivolous?
I believe it is. And I think you should affirm the district court. Let me just briefly comment on the OLEC. I don't think in terms of adjudicating this decision, the court needs to get into the OLEC morass. There is certainly a rash. There's no allegations of similarly situated police officers who've been fired for cause. And as Judge Holderman found, even if there were similarly situated officers, it's certainly rational not to pay somebody during a period of suspension pending a termination. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Counsel. Mr. Hanrahan?
Well, that's not what the judge found. He incredibly determined that because Mr. Stokowski had been terminated, that he didn't have an equal protection claim. Now, the judge's premise was exactly wrong. In administrative law, there is no concern about intent. There has to be a final decision affecting legal rights, not the intent. So it doesn't make any difference if the order were 3,000 pages and there were 3,000 findings. Acker says, Acker versus EPA in this court says, unless there is some kind of a ultimate sanction or penalty imposed by the administrative agency, there is nothing that we can review. That's the basic issue in this case. It was not reviewable under the Illinois Administrative Review Act because it was not a final decision, and our cases are set out in the brief establishing under Illinois law it was not a final decision, therefore it could not be reviewed.
Counsel, what exactly is the due process violation here?
Pardon me?
What is the due process violation committed by the town?
The due process violation is a failure to pay him his back pay when everybody else was getting his back pay. It's a converse of the equal protection claim that we make.
So you're using the action of the pension board where you essentially won in every respect except for the back pay during the period of unpaid suspension. But actually what you're challenging is the action of the Fire and Police Commission in suspending him without pay in the first place.
No. It's not the action of the pension board. It's the action of the town of Cicero as stated in our complaint, particularly paragraph 10. After this non-order was issued, Mr. Stokowski applied for his pension, and the town of Cicero approved that pension, as we allege in our complaint. In addition, they issued him a badge and a identification card as a retired police officer. It was the town of Cicero which did that, not the board. So the town of Cicero, in effect, said, we recognize you are not a discharged policeman. You are the same as any other retiree, but we're not going to give you your accumulated back pay and wages. Now, that clearly is wrong.
But the reason the town didn't give him his back pay is because it had suspended him without pay in connection with the action before the Fire and Police Commission, which you did not challenge and do not challenge, apparently, here. You're not challenging the termination.
No.
You're not challenging the suspension substantively.
Your Honor is incorrect. The town did not suspend him without pay. He was suspended, but it was not without pay. An illegal act by the then town president, Betty Loren Maltese, suspended him without pay subsequently.
But you didn't challenge any of that, and you are not now challenging that.
I challenged that before the board, and they issued the same kind of a non-order in that case. They said it's appropriate to suspend without pay because of the charges against you. They didn't determine that it was proper, or they didn't make a finding that you are suspended without pay. They never did that. They never made any final decision affecting the legal rights of the plaintiff in this case. And that's the essence of our case. And that's why it was not appealable. And that's why the mandamus is improper, because he had no right that was affected.
Well, assuming that the ruling of the Fire and Police Commission was non-final in the respects that you argue, didn't you have procedures available to you to clarify just what it was that the Fire and Police Commission had ruled upon, and so you had plenty of process available to you and just didn't avail yourself of it?
No, there was no process available, and that's set forth in our brief. The Batka case, which is cited by the defendant, is inapplicable here because he had no legal right affected by the board's order. In the Batka case, there was an appellate court order which established a legal right, and that makes that case completely inapplicable here. So mandamus did not lie in this case. He had absolutely no process available to him at all, except recourse to this court, for enforcement of his constitutional rights.
Thank you, Mr. Hanrahan. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.